is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Please open your King James Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 16, where we left off last time. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 16. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on Sunday, April 1st at 5 p.m. for a glorious worship service called The Cross, The Blood, The Heart. And it's to celebrate Christ our Passover, who is sacrificed for us, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. My twin friend Scott Merson is going to do one of his inspirational picture shows, and I am going to teach from the Bible what Jesus was teaching from the cross, and we'll have communion. April 1st, 5 p.m. Come every Sunday, 5 p.m. for the Word and then prayer. Come every Wednesday, 6 p.m. for the Word and then warrior prayer. And then on every Thursday, we open the door at 12 noon, so you may come in, walk in, or call in 12 noon until 2 p.m. Scott and I are here to pray for you. You want to know that we operate in the gifts of Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, healing, miracles, etc. So we apply those when the Holy Spirit leads us when we're praying for you. And now the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 16. As I said last week, to understand this song, in the Vulgate, it calls it Canticles, which in Hebrew means the most beautiful love song. Isn't that amazing that it's Valentine and I'm teaching you the most beautiful love song? But see, everything about God is a love story. He is the bridegroom and we are the bride. And so this is all a love story. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a wedding coming. So it's very befitting. One of the titles of what we're going to teach tonight, I have given it this by after prayer. It's the second coming of Jesus, the Antichrist, and then the second coming of Jesus. All of these scriptures are given us for prophecy for those of us at the end. Now, while this is a story, it is written in play form. The main character is the beautiful Shulamite girl, and she represents the very elect in the body of Christ, chosen from before the foundation of the earth, that will not be deceived by the soon coming Antichrist. That means men and women. So any time I reference the Shulamite girl, if you're an elect man or woman, this means you. And then we have the wonderful shepherd boy, and that is, of course, a type of Jesus, wonderful counselor, mighty God, our shepherd. Then we have a type of the Antichrist, which is King Solomon. He's the richest man in the world, and he's wooed all the daughters of Jerusalem. The mainstream church are in his palace and already married him. The Antichrist comes at the sixth trump. Jesus comes at the seventh. King Solomon's a type of the Antichrist. He's already married the deceived Christians, but the Shulamite girl's not married. So keep all of this in mind. Now, we left off last week. The Shulamite girl has been summoned to the palace of King Solomon. Now, what you want to see is two pictures here. When the Antichrist comes, he's going to summon all the elect, represented by the Shulamite girl, men and women, to his palace, his temple in Jerusalem, because he'll be standing there. He's a devil with his Jesus costume on. He'll be standing there calling himself the Savior, and the elect are the only people on planet Earth who won't marry him. So he's going to summon us to try to woo us, to convince us that he's the Savior. So keep that in mind. Keep these two pictures together. So she's been summoned there, and the table is set, and all of the daughters of Jerusalem, that means the deceived part of the Christian church, are there in their marriage gowns. They've already married him, and there's a banquet table, and she's waiting for King Solomon to come in, who's going to try to woo her and convince her to marry him, that he's really the guy. So what she does, she's separated right now physically from the wonderful shepherd boy, but she communes with him. If you've ever had a friend with whom you are kindred spirit, you kind of feel those things anyway. But see, as an elect, you can communicate with the wonderful shepherd anytime, anywhere, because the Holy Spirit never leaves you and never forsakes you. And when you're called up to Antichrist, when he comes here, you elect, what you're going to do while you're in there, and while the mainstream church is in there worshiping him and making fun of you and calling you a heathen, calling you a false prophet, all that while you have that communication. You see, an elect communicates with God 24 hours a day, anywhere, any place. You can have that. You have the Holy Spirit. So she is communicating with us, with the wonderful shepherd boy. And we left off last week with him telling her, "You're beautiful. You have dove's eyes." In other words, you know what he meant? Jesus says to the elect, the dove represents Holy Spirit, "You see things like the Holy Spirit sees things. You don't look to the natural. You can look at a person. You can see what they look like. But you see the Spirit. You look at the gospel. You see the plan of God. You see why President Trump was elected president. Thank God. And you see why what's going on in Washington is going on. You see these things. There is none so blind as a person who has 20/20 vision but has never seen beyond the veil."
Amen.
Now she speaks.
Verse 16, "And now the female Shulamite. Behold, thou art fair, my love is pleasant. Also our bed is green."
Now she's remembering, she's reminiscing when they first met. She was a shepherd girl before her brothers made her quit that, and he was a shepherd boy. And when the sun got hot, they would go sit on a green grass under a tree and have some lunch, and that's how they fell in love. So she's remembering that. Also remember, David says, "Thou leadest me beside green pastures."
17, "The beams of thy house of cedar."
God calls his elect the cedars of Lebanon. The beams, in other words, hold up. Do you realize that the elect are supposed to be the pillars? Just like in Ezekiel and Revelation, we are the pillars. We hold up the Lord God. The elect are like pillars holding it up. Well, where is the wonderful shepherd boy?
Rafters of fir.
Now, the rafters of fir, that would be the Lord. So the Hosea chapter 6 equates our Lord as a green fir tree, evergreen. That's why we use the evergreen fir tree for Christmas. It represents the Lord. So what she's doing in the natural, if this were natural story only, she would be saying, "I remember how we met, and we're going to have a beautiful house, and you're going to be the head, and I'm going to really support everything." But see, this is the eternal home. Also, there's something very romantic about that bed. It means the honeymoon will last forever. We will never be bored. Revelation chapter 22 says the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. If you take 2 hours to pull that back in Greek, you'll find it means we'll never be bored. Paul says, and Isaiah says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man what God's got prepared for those who love him."
Amen.
Chapter 2, verse 1, the female Shulamite continues.
She is speaking.
"I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley."
Now some of you may be scratching your head. She's speaking? Weren't you always taught that Jesus is the rose of Sharon, that Jesus is the lily of the valley? We have songs like that. Well, I will say that Jesus is all that. Jesus is everything. But she's speaking. One of the things I've noticed about her, remember, she's cornered here. She's summoned to the king's palace. Everybody else has already married him, and he wants to marry her. She doesn't want to. She's in love with the shepherd boy. So what she remembers is who she is. And so when we go through dark places, even now, but then when we delivered up to Antichrist, remember that you're bought with a price. Not gold or silver, but the blood of Jesus Christ. And remember that you were chosen before the foundation of the earth. And remember that this is your destiny to speak. And remember that you have the Lord with you. She says, "I am the rose of Sharon." Sharon in the Hebrew means the wild flower of the plain. What does that mean? It's a rose. There's a rose that blooms in the desert. One of the books in Isaiah talks about that. A wild flower of the plain. It means she is a free spirit. That doesn't mean she's crazy and undisciplined. Elect are free spirits. Why? Because you have found the truth, and the truth sets you free. You can never lock up the spirit of an elect. You can put chains on them and bar the doors. Katie barred the door, but not the spirit of an elect.
Amen.
We absolutely can soar with our spirits. And what about the lily? This is so beautiful. He's about to explain that the world is full of thorns and briars, the devil's kids. Look at Washington. And so the Lord looks down. Now, we're going back to the Antichrist and everything. Jesus looks down on the earth and sees these thorns and pricking briars. The bramble is the devil. His children are the thorns and the pricking briars. And they're always causing trouble. But once in a while, he sees a beautiful lily glistening in the sun. That makes him happy. What about the lily? The lily represents the clothing that the elect wear. Here's what it is. You listen. It's glory. The glory of God clothes an elect. If you could see beyond your 2020 vision, when a man or woman is anointed to sing, to teach, to heal, to pray, you would see the glory. God has that Shekinah glory, and he paints himself on a man or woman, and that anointing glows and glows. God is a consuming fire. Do you know that the man Adam, Eth Ha'adam, that specific man, and Eve in the garden, were clothed with that glory before they sinned? That's why they were physically naked before they sinned, and they were not ashamed. Remember that story?
Yes.
Why were they not ashamed? Because they had his glory. He had just put them there, sent them from himself, wrapped them in his glory. He is the light of the world. The glory is the light. It's greater light than anything you've ever seen. I've seen it sizzling out there. It's beautiful. And then he covered them with it. And when you see that light in a person, you don't see everything else. But when they sinned, then the glory left, and so they made aprons to hide where they had sinned, which was not a bib, it was their lower parts. Another teaching for another time. So this is so very beautiful to know. Do you know that if you are halfway sensitive and moving in the spirit, you can sense when that glory is on a person, whether you can see it or not. Even heathen people are aware of it. They don't know what to call it. I'm going to use a personal illustration. I was teaching a Hindu young woman voice, and so she came in and she sat in her chair close to my piano. My phone rang. It was an emergency call. Someone had died, and so I just had to answer it. And I prayed for the person. They were grieving with great power. The spirit came on me. And she's Hindu. Now, I've been witnessing, trying to, you know, own a winner to Jesus. And I turned around, and she was holding on her arms in the chair. She said, "Oh, God is all over you." Hindus believe in a God, but they don't know which God. You know what I'm saying? I truly believe God opened her eyes to see the glory that was on me. I was anointed. I say that humbly, but any time a man or woman ever gets up to pray or teach or sing or minister communion or heal the sick, you've got to be anointed. If you're not, you're not doing any good. In other words, we're the anointed ones, and I think God did that to open her eyes to see. So this is powerful. And so, see, this is a robe that he puts on us of glory. And so he sees that glory. When he looks down out of heaven on this thorn-infested world with the sin and the devil's children, the Kenites, whenever now and then he sees this light shining, the glory, he says, "There's one of my elect. You look like a lily shining in the valley." No wonder Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men." How about that?
Amen.
Now, that's your glory. How you doing? How's your wattage?
Verse 2, "As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters."
Now that was the wonderful shepherd boy speaking back to her. In other words, you are that Shekinah glory among all these thorns. When I look down at the world, I just see these Kenites messing up my vineyard. The vineyard, this Isaiah 5, you might like to read about that, how the poison berries mess up the vineyard. But he says, "I love you." And I love you more than all those other daughters who betrayed me.
Verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees in the woods, so is my beloved among the sun.
If you were walking for miles and miles and miles and nothing was there but the woods, the woods, the wood, and we're dark and grown up in there in the same old tree, the same old tree. If suddenly you saw a beautiful apple tree with delicious fruit, that's what you are to me. You're refreshing, he says. Do you realize that when Jesus looks down from sitting by the throne, and in all of this sin and sewage of thorns that's going on in your workplace, in your family, in your social life, in your going out to dinners, in your government, in your churches, in your nation, in your town, when he sees your light, it gives him a break. It makes him happy.
I sat down under his shadow.
Well, it's a little tense in there. The daughters of Jerusalem are saying, what's the matter with you that you don't want to marry him? The people of the church, the brothers and sisters of the church, are going to scorn those of us who will not worship the Antichrist because they are deceived. They think the first one coming is Jesus. That's represented by the daughters of Jerusalem. And they're going to scorn us. So we're going to have to rest in him. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Zephaniah's name means the hidden ones. We're hidden with Christ in God. So she just climbs into that hiding place. I do this all the time when I go to the supermarket and run through all kinds of dangers and things because of a handicap I have. I hide in Christ and I just go and I hide in Christ and I walk in Christ. And I do this in handling all the things of my life. You need to learn to do that now. In other words, there's a secret place and you need to be able to climb into it.
With great delight. And his fruit was sweet.
So there she is sitting at Solomon's table. He's got a banquet table prepared. Probably all kind of food that you're not supposed to eat, which is listed in Leviticus 11. Another teaching for another time that'll make you sick. And but she's remembering the wonderful food of the shepherd boy. What kind of food does he feed you? The fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, kindness, mercy. Oh, so delicious.
To my taste. Verse 4, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love.
One of the things, she keeps her sense of humor. See, when we go in and are called up to go to Jerusalem, we're supposed to be the Savior, calling himself Messiah. We know it's the devil in Jesus' costume. That's the elect. That won't be most of the church. Most of the church will already be in there saying, hallelujah, we're married to the Lamb. When we go up, it's actually comical. Because, see, we're the winners. We read the book. It looks like we're walking into a snare, but we're setting a snare for him. That's what President Trump does for those people trying to trick him. It looks like he walks into it, then it's a snare for them. And we can have a sense of humor and say, she's saying, look at this banquet. You know, I just look at that. And yet, I'm going to have all of this good food.
Stay me with flagons.
Stay me with flagons. That's raisin cakes, in other words, just a little dessert there.
Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love.
She says, I'm love sick. Have you ever been love sick? It hurts, doesn't it?
6. His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me.
See, even though they're physically apart, and even though you as an elect are physically apart from the body of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of Jesus is with you, and his spirit has substance. There is substance to it. You can actually feel his left hand under your head and his right hand embrace you. I love that verse, and many times the Holy Spirit would lead me to pray that over someone. He actually touches you even though you can't see him. And I know he's going to be right there with us when we deliver up to Antichrist to touch us. But he does it now. He just did it to me.
Amen. 7. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he please.
What happens with an elect we can see all this just so long. And the reason you're chosen from before the foundation is you finally stand up and do something. An elect does not watch the show. An elect covers your back, stands up, speaks up, and gets the job done. In the spiritual body, that's what we did in the first earth age. We got up and fought Satan. We fought, it's recorded in the Bible. We fought the Revelation 12. And so what the Shulamite girl does, she gets pretty disgusted with these women over there trying to get her to marry this man, making fun of her. And we're going to get a holy boldness on us, because we're going to see Christians we know who are deceived already married the phony King Solomon, in other words, the Antichrist. And that preach will come on us, that glory will come on us, and we'll say, would you please stop telling everybody this is Jesus? You and your flyaway doctrine. Jesus is not coming to fly away. He's coming to stay right here and build his kingdom right here. When it says caught up in the air, it doesn't mean to fly in the sky. It means to change into the spirit body. He's coming here. Will you please stop telling people that the sixth trumpet is Jesus? Don't you know that six comes before seven? Jesus comes at the seventh trump. Read your Bible, Revelation. And Satan comes at the sixth trump. Incidentally, we're in the fifth trump now, the latter part. So see, this is a prophecy for the end times. Antichrist, King Solomon, is about to appear in the sky, calling himself Savior.
Ain't the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills.
In other words, you're telling everybody that Jesus is going to sneak in quietly and snatch out his church. Nobody knows. No. She says, the Bible says, when Jesus comes, it's going to be a mighty voice. What will be the mighty voice? The blast of the seventh trump. A trumpet is always the sound. Hallelujah. And there's going to be chariots and horses of fire and saints coming back and apostles coming back and Pastor Murray coming back and some of our loved ones coming back and David coming back with Jesus. It's a rip-roaring time, a shout and a blast of the horn. No sleeping there. I guess she preached to them, did she not?
My beloved is as a roe or a young hart.
About the mountains, that would be the nations, and the hills, or that would be the government. So he's coming back and he's taking over everything. King of kings and Lord of lords. So no sneaky in to sneak out. He's not a coward. He doesn't have to do that. He just comes back and takes over. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
Behold, he standeth behind our wall.
He's very, very near. I mean, we have a wall about us. That's the Father. Here comes the Son right behind him.
He looketh forth at the window.
He looketh in the window. Sometimes when you go to a place before you go in the door, if the window's open, you peep in the window to kind of see what's going on. They do that to me all the time if my boards are down here, to see what's happening. What he says is, Jesus is looking at you, watching, to see if you're okay. Are you ready for this? Are you worded up for this? Are you prayed up for this? Are you excited about this? Are you pure for this? And he wants to see that you're all right and you're excited about the wedding as he is excited about it. About the window. When a parent takes a child to school and it's the first day the child's going to have to stay by itself, sometimes the child is crying away and the parent's crying away. But the teacher finally says, all parents out. The child's crying, ah, don't leave me, and the parent's crying. But if there's a window, the parents go. They go out because they have to. But they're peeping in that window to see how their little one's doing his first day of school by himself. So Jesus is watching you, elect, to see if you're okay, to make sure you're encouraged, to make sure you don't faint, to make sure that you keep your passion and love and purpose true.
Amen. Showing himself through the lattice.
When Jesus said, it is finished, that veil was ripped from top to bottom. And now we can go in and see God face to face. Through Jesus Christ, that beautiful blood covenant that he cut. Did you know God has a face? He has eyes. He has a nose. He has lips. He has a form. We're made in his image.
10. Mabby Labby spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away.
Now, it's not talking about flying away. She's still speaking. He said to her, when I come, my Shulamite girl, Jesus says, you will all change into your spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Saved and lost alike. You'll step out of it. And Zechariah explains it, that your eyes will fall out of the sockets. I could use that. And then we step into our spiritual bodies. But the ones that come away from the physical, away from the sin, away from the lies and the deception, and up to Jesus will be the elect. Only the elect can go around him, and then we'll be with him. And that's when the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place, and then we will rule and reign with him 1,000 years. We'll all be in our spiritual body. So it's not talking about going far, far away. It just means, remember, he says in the Gospels, people in the church will say, Jesus, I went to church all the time. I preached and I cast out demons. If I never knew you. He didn't know them because they married the Antichrist first. They married King Solomon, those daughters of Jerusalem did first.
11. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone.
Now, why does he bring in winter? Because harvest time is in summer. In Mark 13, Jesus says, pray that your flight be not in winter. You don't harvest crops in winter, you harvest them in summer. So if you marry someone saying he's the Savior, God, as a fruit, and you're harvested there, and it's the first one, then you've married the wrong bridegroom. You've actually married the devil. So she says, I will wait for the second coming. I'll wait for the summer. I'll wait for Jesus.
12. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land.
Okay, in other words, it's summertime. It's marriage time of the Lamb. And in spring, the young man's ideas turn to love, fancy turns to love. Now, a turtle does not sing. You do know that, don't you? But they don't make much noise. So it means here turtle dove, like be my little turtle dove, because there's a wedding coming up. Some years ago, I was in California, and a friend and I went to Disneyland, or maybe it was Knott's Berry Farm, one of those places. Maybe that was it. We went to both of them. And my friend said, there's something following you. And I turned around. It was a giant turtle. He didn't make one sound. He certainly didn't sing. I turned to the left. He turned to the left. I turned to the right. He turned to the right. My friend said, he wants you to be his little turtle dove. So what he's saying here is a time of love. See, this is a love story. What's the title of this? Shahar Shari, the greatest love story, most beautiful love story, the most beautiful love song. Jesus coming back for his bride.
14. The fig tree putteth forth its green figs.
That's interesting that that's in verse 13, because in, Mark 13, Jesus says, now learn the parable of the fig tree. Man put the numbers, the verses in the Bible. God wrote the words, but I think God had something to do with this, talking about the fig tree. The fig tree is Israel. Mark 13, Jesus says, when Israel begins to bring forth its shoots, and in other words, then the time of the second coming is nigh. And Israel became a nation again in 1948. And Jesus says there in Mark 13 that this generation shall not die until they see the second coming of Jesus. You say, well, what? Some of them is getting kind of, oh, how long's the generation? 40, 70, 100, 120. We are the generation of the fig tree. And so that's why I can say this is a prophecy of the second coming of Jesus. I hate to clip that verse right in half, but my time is up there for this part. So we'll begin right there next time. Did you like that?
Oh, yeah.
God bless you. It's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. I mean, that was a great teaching. So many levels.
So many beautiful levels. Yes. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for appreciating that.
Okay, our first question. If Holy Spirit redirects the format of a worship service, Does that bring confusion at all?
Not at all. God is never the author of confusion. When the confusion gets in, it's the devil. Holy Spirit has the most beautiful, organized way to do everything. Just like what you just heard me do. But you noticed it wasn't rigid. Did you notice how it flowed? Most of you would think that it just, you know, that I had never even prepared. That's the way the Holy Spirit does. Everything, while it's in total order, everything is right, and it's exciting, and it flows, and it frees. If the devil sends an interruption, like a person comes in that's got a demon or something, Holy Spirit will often say to those of us who are leading the service, cast out that demon. And we'll just stop and say, in the name of Jesus, and we cast him out, then we carry on. That is order. Many times I've been teaching, and I've stopped right in the middle. I was certainly in order. I was teaching God's word, and anointing was on me. But God knew somebody was listening, was going to listen on the radio. And I'll hear him say through me, and I'll say it out loud, there's someone being healed of cancer out there, or whatever, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit would say. Everything is in divine order. Holy Spirit's total order. When there's disorder, it's the devil.
Amen, amen. Okay, our next question. Who are the poison berries of Isaiah 5?
Isaiah 5, we taught that on Wednesday night. The poison berries are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They are the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the serpent who beguiled Eve in the garden. The serpent, of course, being the devil. The Kenites are the thorns that we talked about that. Jesus says, I see the thorns and the pricking briars. They have overtaken our government. That's why God lifted us up, a wonderful president, President Trump, to get that thing cleaned up. But you can see that they're all being exposed now. And that's because we've been praying for 8-9 years over here every Wednesday night and Sunday too, and all day Sunday and every other day. And so they say they are Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. And they messed up the school system, the political system, the church system, and the government in your lives.
Yeah, everything, huh?
You know what? David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It is time now, ladies and gentlemen, for Scott stuff.
Christianity is a reality, not a religion. The only real thing in this material world is the presence of God. A mind in full acceptance of this reality, deepened by the Holy Spirit of God, will clearly see the multiple dimensional aspects of God's creation and presence everywhere. Understanding God's words to the root of its foundation is the sacred gift of seeing. Through this unfathomable love, acceptance, gratitude, and complete surrender, we are brought into the secret place of the Most High and shown the mysteries of the things holy and eternal.
Praise the Lord. That is so beautiful. Jesus is not a religion, he's reality.
He is.
We know him personally. The Shulamite girl taught us that today, did she not?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott Mercer. That's very beautiful. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask, please, that the Holy Spirit will anoint now. The Holy Spirit will move in the healing and miracles, gifts of God. I ask, O Son of Righteousness, you will arise with healing in your wings. In Jesus' name, in one of the groins, I do not know if you're a man or woman, in the groin, kind of that little crevice right there, leaning toward more to right, there is pain in that. In the name of Jesus, laser beams of healing virtue flowing in there, repairing, restoring, and healing in the name and the power of Jesus. Deaf ears hear, epitaph in the name of Jesus. Open up in Jesus' mighty name. Arthritis be gone, bones, legs, muscles, feet be perfectly aligned, spine, lower back pain stop in Jesus' name. Hearts be made strong, pump with the blood and the heart of Jesus Christ. Blood be purified. Diabetes, I told you, you have no place here. Go into the abyss and never return. That there be perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction nor inaction. Strength, vitality. Woo! A healing, a miracle right there. Somebody grab it. You've got it. It's yours in the name and power. Like an overall makeup of healing in you from the top of your head to soles of your feet. In the name of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We praise you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Woo, mercy. I felt the power there. Talk about his left hand under your head. Now, my announcer in a few minutes is going to give you my telephone number, so I invite you to call and leave a message on my voicemail and tell me you were healed. Now, let's pray for any of those of you who are not saved. The time is close. The end is near. You need to get your heart right with God. Pray this, please, with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask the blood of Jesus.
I ask the blood of Jesus.
Will wash away all my sins.
Will wash away all my sins.
Save me and fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Save me and fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Let me be useful.
Let me be useful.
To you, O Lord.
To you, O Lord.
And let me be a blessing to mankind.
And let me be a blessing to mankind.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 And if you prayed that prayer, you definitely want to call and tell me. Also, feel free to call and leave your questions or your prayer request, or just tell me you love me. That's good. You can do that too. Now, don't forget, Sunday, April 1st at 5 p.m., our beautiful The Cross, the Blood, the Heart program here. And Sundays, 5 p.m., every Sunday, Word Service. Wednesday, 6 p.m., Thursdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott and I are here. Now, remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now, nothing is given you to you to keep. Everything you get is to share, so go and tell. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock with my twin friend Scott Merson saying we love you. And the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' mighty name. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
darkness and the light. When I finally find my way to heaven's door, where I won't need my faith anymore. And my eyes behold your majesty.
Darkest day in history was over. All was lost on the cross. Beaten, battered, bruised beyond description. You gave it all. What went wrong? This couldn't be the end of heaven's story. You came to say, to beat the grave. 3 days and now they're looking for your body. But you were gone, and now I know. You say gift of love is hope that springs eternal. Because of you, all things are new. You say. You save the day.
Say. My heart's one. desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be
to hear a new word from God, and I think it's very odd that while I attempt to help myself, my Bible sits upon the shelf with every promise I could ever need. And the Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be. And the Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be. Getting fit for truth like they're buying a new tailored suit. Does it fit across the shoulders? Will it fade when it gets older? We throw ideas that aren't in style in the Salvation Army pile and search for something more to meet our needs. The Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be. Seek ye first, what a verse. We are pressed but not crushed, perplexed but don't despair. We are persecuted but not abandoned. We are no longer slaves, we are daughters and sons. And when we are weak, we are very strong.